This morning, as we begin our continuation of From the Wilderness to Faithfulness, we will take a look at the scripture found at Psalm 95, verses 1 through 11. And this is what is written there. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for he made it. And the dry land, which his hands have formed. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your ancestors tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years, I loathed that generation and said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not regard my ways. Therefore, in my anger, I swore, they shall not enter my rest. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. And so I'd like for us for just a few moments this morning to consider what it would mean to have a change of heart. What would it mean to have a change of heart? See, it's the nature of the human family for us all to want to be well. And so we try to do those things that will help us to be well physically. We go to our physicians whom we've learned to trust in most cases. We trust in their diagnoses, and for the most part, we're willing to make all of the necessary changes to ensure that our health is intact, even if it's from something as common as a cold. And yes, sometimes we get frustrated and disappointed, even testy at times, when things don't seem to be going our way. But we hang in there, trusting and believing that we'll get better. And yet we also have the desire to be well spiritually. We long to have a good relationship with God. We desire to do those things that lead us into a deeper, more profound relationship with God. And yet, just like we are when things don't go the way we want them to on a physical level, we find ourselves acting out the same way when our spiritual lives get out of sorts. We get frustrated and disappointed, even testy at times, because we can't find God in the midst of our life's challenges. But if life isn't going our way, if things don't work out the way we'd like, we eventually look for something or someone outside of ourselves to blame for our circumstances. Except that in most cases, neither the cure for our physical dis-ease nor for our spiritual dis-ease isn't necessarily found outside of us. Although we have been known to choose other gods, perhaps the answer is within us. And the only thing we really need is a change of heart. It may be difficult for us to imagine that we all sit here today with a heart problem. It's not the kind of heart problem that will be revealed by medical exam. X-rays, MRIs, EKGs, and the like will never reveal the depth or the magnitude of the heart problem we have. And to be totally honest, going to the doctor won't do any good. For the kind of heart problem we live with, we fail to listen to the one and only physician we will need. And it will take brutal honesty for us to accurately address what it is that's creating the arrhythmia between us and our God. You see, friends, this psalm, the 95th psalm, is a song, begins with a hearty and robust summons to give joyous praise to God. For a song that's only 11 phrases long, this song uses 7 of those 11 to move God's people to a place where the true worship of God can take place. And this place of worship is that place where we recognize who God is and what God has done and what God continues to do. This song reminds us of what worship of God truly is. It's the singing of songs of praise. A song that reminds us that worship of God is done through words and songs of praise and thanksgiving. It's a song that reminds us that God, our God, is above all other gods, and that all creation is evidence of the work of God's hands from the core of the earth to the floor of the sea to the top of the highest mountain. It's an invitation to remember the acts of God which saved us. It's a song to remind us of who God is in relationship to us and who we are in relationship to God. For 7 verses, this song tells us that we should praise God, and then it says, stop. And it's at the point of that stop that we are able to see into our human condition. This is where the admonition begins. It says, don't harden your hearts as at Meribah on the day that Massa was in the wilderness, when your ancestors tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. See, we sometimes forget that they were in the wilderness when Moses found water for them after they had cried for water. And when Moses found water for them, they weren't satisfied. They weren't satisfied that God brought them to a place where they could drink, and they continued to complain. Why did you bring us out here to die? It's at this point we begin to see the connection between authentic worship of God and the condition of our hearts. It's at this point we get a picture that suggests that there is a clear connection between our insecurities about God's presence in the midst of our personal challenges. You see, brothers and sisters, when we miss what God is doing and where God is in the midst of our personal challenges, we lose sight of what it is to worship God. And it's at this point that we begin to see that those insecurities might lead us into a blame game where God becomes our scapegoat for all that's going wrong in our lives. And it's at this point that we begin to see that it's not God, but it's us and our spiritual amnesia that prevents us from remembering what God has done. That what's needed most is a change of heart on our part. Primarily a change of heart about God and where God is in the midst of life's challenges. When we move from the wilderness to faithfulness, it's important that we see clearly where God is and worship God despite the challenges that we face. You see, brothers and sisters, more than anything else, is the condition of our heart that prevents us from worshiping God. I mean, truly worshiping God. It's difficult, if not impossible, to enter into a time of worshiping God, thanking God for all that God has done, praising God as the creator, and claiming that God is still good when our lives are shipwrecked on the seas of disappointment and despair. When that happens, we begin to lose perspective and we act unreasonably, seeking to blame something or someone else for the things that are going wrong in our lives. There was a cartoonish movie called The Tales of Despero. And in this movie, the king issued two decrees. He issued two decrees because the queen was sitting at dinner and she fainted. And her face fell into a bowl of soup because she saw a rat in the room. So the king issued two decrees. One outlawing soup, because that's where the queen's face fell. And the other outlawing rats. Totally unreasonable. But that's what happens when we begin to make unreasonable demands for something that we're blaming something or someone else for. And perhaps it's like that when we've held God responsible for what are those natural things of life. And then there are no days of sunshine or rain, just clouds that hang around seemingly forever. And the truth is, the only thing that can change our outlook is a change of heart. But that's on us. It's on us to not harden our hearts to test God in our wilderness as God's people did when they were in the wilderness at Meribah. You see, friends, life comes at us with such ferociousness that our struggles and our challenges begin to blind us to the presence of God in our lives. It becomes difficult to see God when the storms of life are raging all around us. It becomes all but impossible to hold on to our faith when it seems that the God we trusted in has somehow disappeared from our lives. And if we're honest, it's difficult for us to fully open our hearts to worship God when we are holding ourselves emotionally hostage to the idea that God is not with us. It's almost impossible to worship God when we are constantly asking God to prove God's love for us, especially if we use times of difficulty in our lives as evidence that God has somehow abandoned us. And if you've been there before, or if that's where you are, don't believe that you're the only one. And don't believe that you're somehow different because you do feel that way. The whole of the human story is about how we act and relate to God and how God acts and relates to us. This story is about how we should remember what God has done for us in the past and not get so overwhelmed by our present circumstances that we forget God and allow those circumstances to prevent us from worshiping God. There was a movie called The Shack. Maybe you saw it. And one of the characters in the movie was named Mac, and he lost his daughter to a violent and hideous death at the hands of a child abductor. And because Mac was unable to deal with the grief and agony of his loss, he began to question how God could allow his daughter to die, and seemingly God was nowhere to be found, either during the abduction of his daughter or during his time of lingering suffering. And the truth of the matter may well be that when we are lost in a sea of our own pain, God is closer than we think. That's the lesson of the people in the wilderness at Meribah And that's the lesson of the people here and everywhere else. People find themselves insecure about God's presence. That's the story of everyone who has allowed their personal life's tragedy or challenge to get in the way of truly giving praise and worship to God. Praise that allows us to give thanks for what God has done in the past. Thanks for what God is doing now, even though we may not see it. And thanks to God for the gift of salvation. So let's allow those who were unsettled in the wilderness at Meribah to be a living example for us. Let's hear the words of the psalmist reminding us that God is faithful and wants us to come out of life's wilderness with a fervent and alive remembrance of all that God has done in the past and all that God is doing right now and the faithfulness of our God who will always bring us through. Let's not allow the condition of our heart to get in the way of our praise of God. You see, friends, all we really need to make a change in our lives is to have a change of heart. And what that means is simply choosing faith in God over fear of our circumstances. It means choosing hope in God over the seeming hopelessness of our current situation. It means choosing the promise of God's future over the perplexity of our circumstances right now, realizing that in our deepest chasm of despair, God is still with us. It means holding on to hope because the God who has brought us through before will bring us through again. It means having a change of heart in a way that will change our groans and moans into spirits of praise and thanksgiving that give true worship to God. That's what it takes to move from the wilderness of life into a faithful relationship with God. All it takes is a simple change of heart. It's simple, not easy, but it's simple. And that's the word of God for the people of God today.